Buenos dias from España. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about Spain, or as they call it, España. A few years ago I visited Spain, which I found to be a very unique country in Europe, a very ancient land with oozing with history. I loved it in Spain, and the scenery is to die for. I was lucky because when I visited Spain, it was Easter and I was in time for Fiera de Abril, which is the fair of April Easter fair being held in the city of Seville, the Andalusian capital, Seville, in the south of the country. So I rushed off to Seville to see the greatest show on earth. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. It was 7 days and seven nights of horse parades, music, dance, and Spanish food. Vámonos para la feria con alegría. You enjoyed that. That's Spanish music at its very best. Now, if that would give you some idea of what Easter Fair must have been like. As I said before, the music, just try and imagine it. The men are riding around on horseback. They're wearing tiny little short-fitted waistcoats and tight trousers with wide-rimmed hats and laced boots. Women are wearing polka dot dresses, big flouncy dresses, and they are dancing the flamenco with castanets. People are playing violins, accordions, and horses and carriages are driving by, and the manes of the horses are covered in miniature bells. So everywhere, and the sky is festooned with a multitude of lights. And the festivities really begin after dark. So you really got to be there to try and appreciate it at its best. But I've got to tell you, the Spaniards love to celebrate, and I think perhaps nowhere best captures that festive nature of the Spanish life than the April Fair, or Fiera de April. It's every year they have an Easter Fair. Each year it just keeps getting better and better, and it follows after Easter Holy Week. And the whole of Seville will just come alive with this world-famous Easter Fair. You know, I rode into town. I had no accommodation organised, so I ended up sleeping on someone's balcony for 7 nights. But, I mean, who could sleep? It was so exciting. Nothing much happening around town by day because everybody's getting ready for the big event at night. And often I would leave at about 1 a.m. and entire families are just arriving. So, you know, Spaniards, they really know how to celebrate. Now, Seville is no stranger to folklore festivals. The city, for example, greets New Year also in a festive mode when they illuminate the streets, and the streets are full of dancing and singing people. This rejoicing of the onset of the New Year, one of the highlights of it, and one of the things that it all builds up to, is when planes fly over and they bombard the city with tons of candy, and thousands of children run through the streets picking up all the candy that's raining down in a most spectacular float procession then follows. And then into the city ride the three kings. And then people can exchange Christmas gifts. They don't do it on Boxing Day like us. They do it in January with the arrival of the three kings. And it's a very colourful start to the new year. And then the locals, any night you like to choose, and you're walking around the streets of Seville, there will be music in every direction. Impromptu dancing, singing, guitars, castanets. It just keeps erupting in the bars, in the restaurants, and frequently out on the streets. So it's a city that really pulsates with Spanish culture and Spanish atmosphere all year round, not just for Easter Fair. So if you want to experience Spanish culture at its very best, I would say that Seville is the place to go. Now, as I said to you, I spent about a week in Seville. I didn't really want to leave. I was having so much fun. But after Holy Week, or during Holy Week, what people tend to do is a group of men will carry a statue out of a cathedral, and they'll take it through the streets, and then they will return it to the cathedral. Now, I got to see this, and it's something that I also got to see happening in South America. Now, these statues will be on perhaps the Virgin Mary or Jesus or a saint, and they will... It will take anything like 20 to 40 men carrying this massive, heavy statue on their backs through the streets. And the crowd are jubilant. People throw rose petals before the men carrying the statues. And it's a great honour to get selected to carry the statue from the cathedral through the streets before the rejoicing crowd. Now, these men often wear hoods so that their identity is unknown, and a colourful float procession will follow. And then there'll be a line of very devout Catholics. Spain is a very, very Catholic country, all right? You go into any town or city, and usually the most spectacular and dominant building will be the cathedral. And the cathedral will always be pulsating with a crowd of people praying, singing. There's always, if you ever get bored, just go to a cathedral because it's just so much happening. And the artwork on the walls of the cathedral is exquisite. There's paintings, everything is covered in gold. And I had to keep reminding myself that a lot of this gold was stolen from the Incas of South America back in the 14th century, when the Spaniards laid waste to the Incan Empire. And you're going to have to wait for my talk about Peru to learn more about that. During Easter, the entire city becomes a fairground. And this is the highlight of the festive season for Seville. Now, a little bit of background. Easter Fair came into being in 1846, and it was really as part of Spain's reaction against foreign influences. There was a lot of foreign influences coming into Spain, and they wanted to show the world and the foreigners what Spain really could stand for. And so 1846 it got started, and it's continued to grow and prosper and spread ever since then. Now, originally it was set up as a livestock market where people would buy and sell cattle. And that currently that's still there, but that's just now a minor little sideshow. So the livestock market aspect is still there, but now it's become a folklore festival. And as I said, music and dancing came to predominate. By the 1920s, so that's after about 70 years, the fair had reached the spectacle that it is today. And as I say, every Easter we have the Easter Fair. Now, a lot of people will, in the fairgrounds, a lot of people will hire what's called a caseta. Now, a caseta is an individually decorated marquee. Now, in 1846, there were three casetas in 1846. Three. Remember the numbers. Now there are in excess of 1,100. So what happens is, for 6 days and nights, civilians and foreign visitors, they thought I was an American boy, by the way. Hey, you American boy? I said, no, I'm from Nova Zelandia. They went, oh, okay, sir, you are an American boy. I said, oh, well, we'll settle for that. Anyway, for 6 nights and days, people flocked to the fairgrounds for the Easter Fair. So it becomes like a massive canvas city. Now, these casetas, the 1,100 casetas, they're by invitation only. And they will be set up by a family. A family can erect a caseta, or it can be a group of friends, or a club, or a trade association, or even a political party. I'm glad we don't have that tradition here in New Zealand. Can you imagine them? Now, anyone can set up a caseta. You just have to get a license to do it. And then you invite your friends and you entertain your friends. And it's by invitation only. So a visitor can't just wander into a caseta. You have to be invited in. And I never was. I just wandered around and looked at everything, and no one was very interested in inviting me in. And in that caseta, the host will treat their visitors to tapas, food, drink, like wine and sherry is very popular, and cerveza. Cerveza is Spanish beer. So cerveza, wine, sherry, tapas, a full-fledged meal. And inside the caseta, they will hire flamenco dancers. They'll be dancing with castanets and violins and guitars, and they'll put on a great show for the selected guests. So get yourself invited into a caseta to see how good it can really get. Now, these casetas are arranged in rows, and they're all decorated with paintings, roses, flowers, flags, lanterns. And inside each, because I managed to sneak a look, there'll be a bar serving an endless supply of alcohol, and the kitchen will be churning out an endless supply of food. And a sound system will be pounding out Spanish music while the guests drink, talk, sing. And there'll be a special dance put on called a Sevillana, which is a flamenco-style dance performed mainly with women. And it's all just impromptu and just springs up any old where. So it was great to see such rich culture, such bonding and such friendship. And the Spaniards, as I said, boy, do they know how to celebrate. Now, the roads and paths between the casetas are covered with tons of golden sand that's been especially brought in for the occasion. And on these roads and paths each day, there's a daily horse parade. So horses and carriages will be constantly going past. Now, if the horses, mostly the horses are driven by a male, and he'll be there with his wide-brimmed hat and his tight little jacket and tight pants and his boots. And sitting, the woman will sit side saddle behind the guy, and she'll have a big flouncy dress and a rose behind her ear, and her hair tied back in a bun with a ribbon. A rose behind the ear is very important, and the woman will be sitting side saddle behind the guy. And they'll ride around all day, and every now and again you'll see a carriage go by, and there'll be two men driving maybe four or even six horses. And there can be, and you, when you look inside the carriage, it's just a bunch of fluffy dresses because all the women are in there getting a ride around. So the Spaniards take all this very seriously. Now, it's around about noon. Nothing's happening in the morning, by the way. They're all sleeping it off. So all the festivities at the fairgrounds start around about noon. And it starts with the mounted parade, and they show off their beautiful horses and their riding skills. And then eventually it changes into, when darkness descends, the music breaks out, the entertainment begins, the sky is illuminated by thousands of lanterns, and it gets really serious. Now, throughout the afternoon, every time I went there, as the afternoon wore on, the roads would become increasingly congested with horses, carriages, dancers. And around about 4 p.m., things quieten down as people take a break for lunch. They do everything late in Spain. They have breakfast at midday. They have lunch at 4. They have dinner at midnight. That's how it is. As I was saying, after 4, things quieten down. They have a siesta, so people go off and have a snooze, which is something we should do, actually. And then a lot of people go off to a daily bullfight. So I went off to the bullfight. I wish I hadn't, because I don't like blood sports. But at the bull arena, the best matadors of the season were slaughtering bulls. And I left early. But every time a bull was stabbed by a matador, the crowd would stand and shout, "Olé!" Gypsies played a colourful role at the fair. There is a significant Jewish community in Spain, and they found a place at the fair. Gypsies singers would roam about, and they would actually silence the jubilant crowd because their music had such a depth of feeling, and they would just bring everything to a standstill while everyone was fixated with the gypsies, and the gypsies would play violins and sing these mournful tunes. Other gypsies wandered about selling things, and some gypsy children got jobs guarding and watering horses while the riders took a break. And then some gypsies wandered around, and while I was there, I got to see gypsy fire eaters, sword swallower. I didn't like that much, but he swallowed the sword, and other types of showmen. They were all there, And then as the evening wore on, you can see why I kept going back, can't you? I kept going back. I couldn't stay away. As the evening approached, the dancing and music erupted in every direction. The sky was illuminated with all the lanterns, and a thing called the portada lit up. Now, the portada is an imposing structure. It's like a big archway. It's a bit like the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. It's like a big memorial arch, and they would light that up, and it would say on it, you know, "Seville Easter Fair 2018 and the whole of the portada would be illuminated by thousands of lights and dominate the entrance to the fairgrounds. So everyone had to pass under the portada to get inside the fairgrounds and then make your way to a caseta or just watch the parades and the festivities. So this is the best show I think I've ever seen, and it was free. Now, dancing and the music would start at around about 9 p.m. and it would keep going all through the night. And as I said, you know, I'd go home at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. and I'm the only person leaving. And people, they'd just party, and no one seemed very interested in sleeping. And there were every type of Spanish flamenco you've ever thought of was being performed. And I kind of thought that I started staying later after a while because I realised I was being a nerd going home so early. And every kind of Spanish flamenco you could ever imagine There isn't just one type, there's multiple. It was all being displayed in a spectacular show that gained extra vitality as the evening progressed. Now, while I was in Spain, there was a few other things that I went to see. I wasn't just fixated with Seville. I spent a little bit of time in the capital city, Madrid, and I went to the art gallery there, the Prado, which has perhaps the greatest collection, one of the greatest collections of art in Europe. I also visited several palaces, and I went to a variety of museums. And in the hills above the capital, there is a monument to the Civil War. Now, Spain, if you know your history, and I know you do, Spain was fractured between 1936 and 1939 with a bitter civil war, which left 1 million people dead. And there were two sides to the civil war. There were the Republicans, who were backed by communists and the Russians, and on the other side was the fascists, or the Falange, and they were led by General Franco, and he was supported by Hitler and Mussolini. Now, the war dragged on for 3 years, and Franco was victorious. And Franco and his fascists stayed out of World War II because Spain had suffered so much in the ghastly Civil War. He went on to rule until his death in 1976. So they had nearly 40 years of General Franco. When Franco passed away, he nominated Juan Carlos, Prince Juan Carlos, to be the next king of Spain. So Spain was in that unique position of restoring a monarchy that had been deposed, I think, about in the early 1920s. So they had done a restoration, and Juan Carlos ruled until a couple of years ago when he abdicated in favour of his son, and these days he's facing lots of charges for bribery and corruption and other misdemeanours, and people don't think very highly these days of Juan Carlos. I got to see Juan Carlos. I was in the right place at the right time. He came into a temple, and I thought, oh my God, it's Juan Carlos. Now, that monument to the Civil War up in the hills, they got a sarcophagus containing the remnants of General Franco facing another sarcophagus with the remnants of the Republican leader. Now, another place I went in Madrid was I went to the museum of the massacre of Guernica. Now, during the Spanish Civil War, Franco called upon Hitler to bomb the his rivals in the town of Guernica. So Guernica was basically destroyed, hundreds of people killed. And Picasso, the great Spanish artist, he drew this wonderful artwork of Guernica with the people screaming out to the heavens. And you can go and visit the Picasso Museum and see the famous art that he did to depict the massacre of the people of Guernica. Now, other places I visited in Spain was Barcelona, or Barcelona. So that was in the north of the country. I spent a few days in Barcelona, a city with its own unique history and culture. Once again, I went to the palaces, the museums, the parks, the main streets, and toured into the countryside surrounding it. Oh, lots of wineries around Barcelona. And I also, when I was in the south of the country, I visited nearby to Seville. I visited Malaga and Granada, and I made an excursion to the Rock of Gibraltar, a small British colony just clinging to the south coast of Spain. So there you go. Spain, you put Spain on your agenda. Make sure you visit it next time you're in Europe. I found the best way to get around was with a Ural pass. I had one. I would just hop on and hop off trains. So I used local buses and I used a Ural pass. And you can get anywhere around the country by train because they've got a very sophisticated, comprehensive railway network. And it's Spain I found to be cheap and interesting, quite unique, delicious food, lovely wine, attractive people, long history, long culture, and make sure you go there. And if you do decide to go there, time your trip for Fiera de Abril and make sure you tell them that Mr. Len sent you. So once again, my email address is lwilson62@outlook.co.nz. I have a travel company, timelesstours.co.nz, and I have been recently writing travel books. One is called Solly Mr. Len and the other is called Dear Mr. Len. So my books have 40 short travel stories in each. So I'll say adios make sure you visit Spain. Don't miss it.
Yeah.